I don't know why I'm here. That's the emes. I know I'm here for a reason, but I don't know why. I'm on no sleep. And when I say no sleep, I mean a level of sleep. I maybe have 10, 11 hours over the last 3 days. I have no idea what's going to come out of my mouth. When I was driving from Muncie to here, I was literally on the phone with friends who learned in Mevasera with me the last couple of years just to keep me awake while I was driving. Where's Shani? Thank you so much. Shani had to come to Cass Car. I've never in my life parked. No Jew has ever parked in the parking lot of Cass Carpet. That's a place we drive by. I parked in that parking lot. I took my passport because I have no idea if anything is going to be there when I get back. I came with no clothing. I had intention to be here for 2 days. I flew in Friday morning. I was supposed to be, I guess not. I thought I was supposed to be on the flight out at 1:30 this afternoon out of Newark. And Rabbeinu Shalom had other plans. I guess I'm here for a reason. I don't know if I can't sleep because I'm jet lagged or I can't sleep because I'm so anxious for my family. I'm not anxious that anything's going to happen to them. Eretz Yisrael is the place that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is watching always. I know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is watching us now more than ever. I'm anxious because I so badly want to be with them. I'm on the phone with my wife as often as I can be. All the grandchildren moved into the house. All the children moved into the house. I'm on the phone with my wife and she goes, "Oh, we just got another warning, so I got to go." They're not sending Katusha rockets. They're sending cruise missiles. They're the size of 18-wheeler trucks. The missile that Lo Aleinu killed 9 people today in Beit Shemesh, that's half a mile from where my parents live in Beit Shemesh. This is not academic. This is happening and it's in real life. They have nothing left to lose. At the very, very end, in the final moments of this evil regime, they're going to do whatever they can to take as many people down with them. But I know who my enemies are, and I don't know if you know who your enemies are. I had to go to Hertz Rent-A-Car. There's a strange bug. If you ever rent from Hertz Rent-A-Car, there's a strange bug. You can't extend a rental. I don't know why that's not a feature. Like, I have your car. I don't know why I need to go back to Newark Airport to switch it for a car that has it, like an extension built in. This woman at the counter, she sees when I gave her my Israeli license, she says, "You're from Israel." I said, "Yes." She said, "I hate Trump." I was like, "What do you... The building and your shirt have the same colors. You're not you're not the intelligentsia of society. I'm not interested in hearing your political opinion." And then she continues and she's like, "I hate the fact that we got dragged into this." Like, what do you want from me? I'm overweight with a beard, so you think that you have the right to just say whatever you want in my direction? So I said, "Well, you know, I'm not here to get involved in politics, but the world is a safer place today because evil men have died. And if you'll just give me the keys to my car, I can leave this anti-Semitic Hertz in Newark Airport." When they write Megillas HaMashiach, there is no doubt in my mind that they are absolutely writing down Berachel Bitcha Ktana in Shemayim, every single tenua that's happening. The fact that this is all happening in Adar, the fact that Khomeini is destroyed because he sought to have a nuclear weapon that he could use against Klal Yisrael, Mamish Haman Ala Eitz, that he attempted to have an Eitz to kill Mordechai and that the Eitz in the end took his own life. That it wasn't just Khomeini, but that they targeted all of his children. They targeted all of the upper command of the entire IRGC. We're living in absolutely wild times and with a real prospect Bez Hashem Bekarov Mamish, the last people standing was Iran. This was it. On October 6th, if you would have told us, when we were in a state of civil war, Yeshno Am Echad Mefuzer Umefurod Beina Amim, we were mamish in a state of civil war with each other. If you would have told us on October 6th that Nasrallah would be dead, that Sinwar would be dead, that Hamas would basically be destroyed, that Hezbollah would basically be destroyed, that Assad would be overthrown in Syria. If we stopped there, Dayenu, we would have said, this is the most unbelievable time in our lives. But the last one was Khomeini, the ultimate terror proxy king, who was facilitating with the money that he had to be able to make a dent in the world. And now he's gone too. And that it happened Kemat, the way the Gemara in Yuma describes it, that the final war in the times of Mashiach is going to be between Rome and Persia, which is the modern day America is Rome, and that this is literally playing out the way that Chazal said it would. Every Jew in the world is paying attention right now. We're all interested. Everyone's being medayik in that famous medrash in the Yalkut Shimoni that speaks about exactly what's going to be in that final battle. Everyone's like, is this the final battle? Is it not the final battle? I don't know. I'm not here to predict things. It was nothing but way of my Rebbeim to predict things like this. To be perfectly honest, Aviva, when Aviva messaged me, Aviva comes up with great titles for Shiurim. Everyone has their talent in the world. You come up with the best titles. I don't know if it's ChatGPT. Is it CB, you come up with the best titles. Was it ChatGPT?
No. She said to me, I need a title. I said, give me a second, I'm thinking. And I thought, it's not a war, it's Mashiach.
Yeah, well, you're 100% right. I mean, it's always been Mashiach, but I'm not here. I just said yes because I was too tired to even think about what I was saying, to be honest with you.
Like a good husband.
No, it's a good title. I just don't know if it's going to have anything to do with the shiur that I'm giving. I hope it is. We'll see. We'll find out. I heard many years ago from Rabbi Kurland in Shayashov, Rabbi Kurland said something to the effect of, tell me what the title is afterwards. I'm going to prepare the shiur. I'll figure out how to fit it in afterwards. We'll see if it fits in. I'm not here to predict anything, to say what's what. I'm not a person who has shoulders to do that. And even if I was, the Gemara says that it's usher to predict when Mashiach's going to come, and we don't want to make people dismayed if it doesn't work out exactly the way that we think it's going to work out. But I do want to say something that I heard from Rav Ephraim Waxman Shlita over 20 years ago when I was still living in the Five Towns. When I went to hear Rav Waxman speak, he said, "Hakoyre es a Megillah mafreya lo yotze." The Gemara says that somebody who reads the Megillah backwards is not yotze. So, what does that mean? First of all, who reads a book backwards? Actually, I know somebody that reads a book backwards. I know one guy who reads a book backwards. Harry Potter was very anticlimactic for him. But most of us read a book forwards. Who would have a havamina to read the book backwards? So I remember if Waxman was screaming in the way that he does, beautiful, beautiful screaming. And he said, a Yid has to read the Megillah of life, and at every single stage, a Yid has to say, this is what happened. Ah, it's a Yeshua for Yidden. And the next thing that happens, ah, it's a Yeshua for Yidden. I have no idea what's happening in the world today, but I know that Bez Hashem, this is going to go as smoothly as it possibly can, and these will be the final moments of Chevle Mashiach, and Bez Hashem will greet Mashiach Tzakenu Mamish fast. But I don't know why anything's happened, but it's clear this is a Yeshua for Yidden. Israel is the only country in the world where they have rescue missions to bring their citizens back to a state of war. I really feel that way. I really feel like I need to be rescued, to be brought back home, so that I could be there when Mashiach comes. I want to be in Mevaseret, Al Har Gavoa, Alilach Mevaseret Zion, Harimi Bekach Kolech Mevaseret Yerushalayim. I want to be there when Mashiach Zakenu comes to Mevaseret and blows that shofar, that the entire world comes home. I miss my Talmidim, I miss my friends. I miss the Rebbeim in Yeshiva. I miss everybody so much. I just want to be there because I know it's coming. I'm sorry for being emotional. I feel like I'm in the wrong place in the world. My wife has a policy. Eretz and Baron can attest to this. My wife has a policy. She basically doesn't leave Eretz Yisrael. I beg her to come with me. It'd be nice vacation. There are Talmidim here that would give us their homes. She doesn't leave. She doesn't leave Eretz Yisrael. She has no interest in leaving Eretz Yisrael. I think maybe I finally understand why she doesn't leave. I am, however, curious when I do get on that rescue mission, what security is going to be like. Are they going to ask me those questions? You know what I mean? Like, are you bringing anything for any? No, just let me come home, man. Just like, what's next week's parsha? Dude, just, we got to go, man. You know, like, I want to be on that. I want to be on that plane so badly. I know it's going to be one of those moments that you never forget for the rest of your life. And I hope you'll join me. Not Bederech Zurich to Cairo to driving to straight Al Kanfei Nesharim. I hope every one of us is able to go as soon as possible. Property value in the five towns is really going to plummet in a minute. So, just you got to prepare yourself, you know. We just read Parsha Zachar. Zachar es asher asalucha Amalek baderech betzeitzchem mimitzrayim. Remember what Amalek did to you on the way. Asher karcha baderech. They attacked us along the way. They created a sense of kriris, a sense of coldness along the way. What's the significance of the fact that Amalek attacks us baderech? I want to share with you an amazing Chidush Arim that I saw brought down by the Shvilei Pinchas. Chachma bagayim tamin, Torah bagayim al tamin. It's a bechina of chachma that the gayim have. Torah they don't have. Says the Chidush Arim, chachma is in the mind. Chachma is something that everybody has. Everybody in the entire world has chachma. Everyone has a head. Torah is not located in the head, says the Chiddush Arim. Torah is located in the heart. Torah bagayim al tamin. They don't have a Yiddish hearts. They don't have what we have. The Rebbeinu Shlom gave us something very special. What does baderech mean, says the Chiddush Arim? The largest distance in the world is the distance between our head and our heart. Especially in these moments before Mashiach is coming, everyone has to pay attention to what the kids are saying. If we want to know what we're feeling, pay attention to what children are saying. Children tell us what's really going on in the world. Every kid, they're not satisfied with the Yiddishkeit that we grew up with. They're not satisfied with knowing things. Say, Rebbe, I want to feel something. I don't want to know it intellectually. I want to know it emotionally. I want to take that which is chachma. I want it to travel down my person, through my neck, baderech. The neck is baderech. The neck is the path that takes us from our head to our heart. The kids are rebelling and they're right. They're right to rebel. I'm not interested in an intellectual Torah. It has to be relevant. They don't mean relevant in the way that we think they mean it. I used to get very upset. What do you mean you want it to be relevant? What's not relevant about this? They don't mean relevance like halachically relevant. That's the mistake that Rebbeim make when a boy is learning a Gemara and they're learning, you know, Shor Shanaga Chesapara, and they're like, Rebbe, I don't own an ox. I don't own many oxen. My friends don't own an oxen. Nobody's goring each other. So some Rebbe comes along and he says, yeah, but if you had a car. And he says, if I had a car, I'd call insurance. The kids are not asking for relevancy in halacha. They're asking for something much more profound. Teach me Torah in a way that I can integrate this Torah into my person, that it'll illuminate my life, that I'll be passionate about it, that I'll be excited about it. I don't know how to take it from chachma and make it into Torah. I don't know how to travel from the mind down into the heart. That's what our kids are saying today, and they're 100% right to say it. Asher karcha baderech. The nature of Amalek, which Amalek learned from Zaydi Esav. The nature of Amalek is to attack us in the neck. to wipe out our neck so that we have no ability to traverse the distance between our head and our heart. Esav was ish yoideya tzayet befiv. He was a yoideya. That's what Esav was. He knew things. Everything about Esav was fake. He would come to Yitzchak and he would say, How do I take meiser from salt? Everything was intellectual, but emotionally it wasn't there. He didn't live in the world of his lived reality that he was excited to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We all know the famous Targum Yonasan ben Uziel. Targum Yonasan ben Uziel says that at the very end, when Yaakov Avinu was being buried, and Esav HaRasha stood in the way, and he wouldn't let them bury Yaakov because he said, that's my spot in Maras HaMachpelah. We all know the story. Chushim ben Don, the famous Sichas Musar from Rav Chaim Shmulevitz. Chushim ben Don, who was deaf, he couldn't understand what was going on, so he just chopped off Esav's head. There's a lot of Musar Shmuzin around why it was Dafka Chushim ben Don. But why was it Esav's head that rolls into Maras HaMachpelah? Esav's head, Taka, learned a lot of Torah. Esav was, in a certain sense, in his way, a yeshiva guy. He grew up in Yeshivas Yitzchak. He grew up in Yeshivas Avraham Avinu. There's no doubt that Esav was well-trained in Chachma. Torah he didn't have. His body can't come into the Ma'ara. His body was never purified by that Baderech. It would never traveled from his head into his heart. This is what Amalek knows. Amalek knows that the legacy of Esav is to create distance between our head and our heart. That we could know something, but it has no impact on my life. This is everything that Amalek stands for. This answers the famous question, why is Haman, of all the ways that Haman could have killed Mordechai, why does he dafka want to hang him on a tree? How do we hang people? From their neck. This is what Haman seeks to do to Mordechai. Haman says, I have to break the neck of Klal Yisrael. And why dafka does he have to break the neck of Mordechai HaTzadik? Because the nature of a tzadik, this is what a tzadik is. A tzadik is somebody that in their presence, it's not just Chachma, it's Torah. When we meet a true tzaddik, we're meeting somebody from a different universe. I was zoicha to have yechidus with Rav Itcher Meyer a couple of months ago. When we first found out that my wife was expecting, so I wanted to go to the tzaddik for a bracha. So I have a Talmud he's an amazing person. And somehow he became deeply connected to Rav Itcher Meyer and he was able to get me in. And I walked into the study and I felt like I traveled back in time 1,000 years. 1,000 years. I walked into a study in Yerushalayim with a big fancy chair. There's nothing about the entire place that's fancy. Rav Itcher Meyer is not interested in anything. I don't know this for sure, but I'm pretty sure the Thank You Hashem guys are the ones that bought Rav Itcher Meyer that chair. Are we doing this because you bought the chair? You got that chair for Rav Itcher Meyer? The Thank You Hashem people bought the chair? I think I heard something like that. It's a nice chair. Taka, nice chair. I traveled back in time. You ever walk through Mei Sharim? Oh, maybe it's not always a good idea. But you ever walk through Mei Sharim and you feel like you're traveling back in time, like every block that you walk through is like another 500 years that you traveled back in time. I met a man who was not of this world. I met a man who did not belong in this generation. I felt like when I was talking to him, he had to come down to have a conversation with me. It was the strangest thing I've ever experienced in my entire life. I went afterwards to teach in different places in Yerushalayim. I don't know what I said that night, but I was flying from it. I was alive in the presence of a tzaddik. I can't describe it to you unless you've ever had anything like this in your life. You have no idea what I'm talking about. And I don't blame you if you're looking at me and thinking that I'm crazy. It was exceptionally special. The job of a tzaddik is to make the entire world come alive in their Yiddishkeit. Haman and Mordechai are foils for each other because they believe in the exact opposite thing. Mordechai believes in a world where people are excited by ideas. They're passionate about ideas. They're so passionate that it becomes their reality. They're not interested in just knowing things. They're not interested in a Torah that they're opening up the Sefer and then they're closing the Sefer and then they have another check mark. Tzaddikim are not interested in check mark Yiddishkeit. They're interested in people doing things so that they could serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chol levavcha, b'chol nafshecha, b'chol ma'odecha. Haman HaRasha, he can't stand such a life. To know things intellectually, to be an academic, to be a professor of Rashi and a professor of Taisus, doesn't bother Amalek on any level. But that you should be excited by ideas, this terrifies Amalek. But there is a question. There is a question that we have to ask ourselves, that I think Amalek is hopping onto something. And it requires us to have a better answer than I think we've ever had before, to counteract the forces of Amalek that are in the world today. The Baal HaTanya brings, and really it's in Zohar before that, but the Baal HaTanya brings that HaMoyach Sholet Al HaLev, that the mind has an impact on the heart. But there's a kasha. Why? Why does the mind have an impact on the heart? The domain of the intellect is the domain of the intellect. The domain of the emotion is the domain of the emotion. How could it possibly be that because I know something, I could get excited by it? The Baal HaTanya, the emesis, the Baal HaTanya later in Tanya speaks about it from the opposite direction. That a person could awaken the emotions that they naturally have, the organic love that every single yid has for the Ribbono Shel'olam, and that could even impact his intellect. But why? Why? These are two separate domains. Why is it that intellect and emotion have a relationship with each other? The Yalkut Shimoni in Esther tells the following story. And this is not the only, there are many Mamari Chazal on this, I'm just choosing the Yalkut Shimoni because it's a beautiful Yalkut. We know that Haman wanted to be Toile Mordechai at Tzadik on an eitz that was 50 amos high. Where did he get this beam from? Where did he get this wood from? So Haman searched all over for such a beam until he realized there was only one such beam that would be appropriate. There was a beam in his house, a beam in his house that was 50 amos long. Where did he get this 50 amos beam from? And by the way, think about the sinna that Haman had for Mordechai HaTzadik, that he was willing to destroy his own home, which obviously can be understood in a very deep way, that there are some people that they have such hatred for things that they're willing to destroy everything in their life to take that thing down. And Haman takes apart his own home so that he can take this 50 amos beam and he could plant it and he'll ultimately hang Mordechai. That's his plan. Where did he get this 50 amos beam from? So we know that Haman had a son whose name was Parshandasa. And Parshandasa, when they were building Haman's house, he traveled to Noach's Teva. The Yalkut says that Noach's Teva, it stuck around for a long time, a zecher, so that the world shouldn't be able to deny that there was a flood. And in Noach's Teva, there was a beam that was 50 amos long. And Parshandasa Dafka understood that the house that we're going to grow up in, the house of Haman HaRasha, the home of Amalek, has to have this beam in it. This has to be the central beam of Haman's house. What's the pshat? The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah 21b tells us that there were Nun Shari Bina that were created in the world. And all of them except for one were given to Moshe Rabbeinu. 49 levels of Bina Moshe Rabbeinu had, but the 50th level, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't have access to the 50th level. What is this 50th level? So the Maral explains as follows. Human consciousness has a structure to it. There's a misudar order of intellect, one level after another after another. The highest level of intellect is the 49th level. But the 50th gate, the Nun Share Bina, represents an entirely different structure. At the highest level of Chachma, at the highest level of Bina, there is no more categories. There's no more good and evil, there's no more Jew and Goy, there's no more Tzaddik and Rasha. At the highest level of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Atzmus, the highest level of Hashem's essence, it's beyond all created categories. It's chomer without surah. It's matter without form. It's not a world that we can understand. Everything in our world is structured and organized. There's a chair, there's a table, there's a shtender, there's a bima. Everything in this world has its own category. But in truth, at the highest possible level, from the perspective of Atzmus, there are no created categories. This is the 50th level. It's not a level that we can possibly understand. Even Moshe Rabbeinu only reached in his lifetime the 49th level. We'll see that he did reach the 50th level later. What was the problem in the Dor HaMabul? The Dor HaMabul was a brilliant generation. The Dor HaMabul could have been zoicha to Kabbalah Satayra. The Gemara tells us that at the time of the giving of the Torah, the astrologers ran to Bilam HaRasha because they were very nervous. They looked into the sky and they saw that it was the same exact zodiac as it was in the times of the Mabul. And they said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to destroy the world again. And Bilam HaRasha said, no, he's not going to destroy the world because last time Klal Yisrael wasn't there to receive the Torah. Now that Klal Yisrael is here, the Mayim is going to come down as Torah. It's not going to come down in its physical form and destroy the world. Which means to say that in that generation of the Dor HaMabul, fundamentally, essentially speaking, they were capable of receiving the Torah. But because they weren't roi lekach, they had unbelievable chachma, but they had no heart. So they weren't shayach to it. But Noach was a big tzaddik. Noach was a big tzaddik. He understood this bechina of the 50th level. That's why he was ishtam, he was complete. Noach reached this madrega of the 50th level, which means to say that even though the entire world was living in a state of fragmentation, a gap between chokhmah and Torah, but a gap between the intellect and the heart, Noach was ishtam. V'noach matzah chein be'enei Hashem, the pasuk in Bereishis tells us, that Noach found favor in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Chein is Rashi Tevas chush nun. He had a sense of that 50th level in his life. He lived from the perspective of Atzmus, as high as one could possibly go to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroyed a fragmented world. Noach wasn't living in the fragmentation of this world. The way that Noach survived is he entered into this teva with this beam that went across it of 50 amos. It means to say that Noach reached such a madrega that he was beyond the world that was destroyed. So Noach wasn't destroyed because the fragmentation of the world was destroyed, but Noach wasn't fragmented. He was a tam. He was absolutely complete. We have to understand that everything in this world that's ever been broken has been broken because we don't have the sense of oneness, because we don't live on the 50th level. This was the level that Adam and Chava lived in before they sinned. The Nachash HaKadmoni came to create Pirud in the world. Eitz Hadas, Toiv Vira. There's multiple categories in this world. And that's why the Bali Kabbalah explain that the Nachash also represents Chush Nun. That's what the letters of Nachash stand for. Chush Nun, a sense of the 50th. The Nachash understood that his job in this world is to corrupt that 50th level of Bina and to bring the world to a Madrega of the 50th level of Tumah. That's what the Nachash did successfully. Noach wasn't holding by the sin of Adam Rishon. Memele, he wasn't destroyed with the rest of the world. Moshe Rabbeinu is the Gilgal of Noach. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, Mecheni nami sifrecha. Mecheni is the same letters as Mei Noach. Just like Noach went into a teva, Moshe Rabbeinu went into a teva. Just like Noach was in the teva for 40 days and 40 nights, Moshe Rabbeinu had Kabbal Satayra for 40 days and 40 nights. The parallels between the life of Moshe Rabbeinu and the life of Noach are unbelievable. Arizal brings that they're a gilgulim of each other. So if you look at the pasuk where Moshe Rabbeinu asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please allow me entrance into the 50th level. Listen to what the words of the pasuk say. They'll sound very familiar. Va'ata, im na matzatzi chein be'einecha. What is Moshe Rabbeinu asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu when he says, I want to be on that 50th level? He's saying, please, I'm looking for that chein. I'm looking for that chush nun. Hoydieni na, listen to the words, Esdirachecha. Show me your ways. What is Moshe Rabbeinu asking? He's saying, I know the secret. The secret of the 50th level is that derech. It's the baderech. It's the journey from your head to your heart. The reason why it's possible to unite the head and the heart, even though in truth they live in two different universes, is because that's only true to the level of the 49th level of Bina. But on the 50th level of Bina, which is beyond all created categories, there is no category called head, and there is no category called heart. Everything is the Rabbanu Shalom. It's all the Rabbanu Shalom. So Moshe Rabbeinu was saying, please, Rabbanu Shalom, give me that chen, give me that chush nun, so that I can know the derech, so that I can be that tzaddik that brings Torah down into the world in such a way that the Torah is absolutely intellectual and absolutely emotional, and it's not a stira. I don't want to say anything negative about Klal Yisrael, but I've said it publicly once, and I want to say it publicly again. There is no room in the world for us to be. And I'm going to be specific here. I don't want to say Chas V'Shalom negative things. It's not the time at all to say negative things. Klal Yisrael is amazing. Klal Yisrael is beautiful. But to defend Klal Yisrael, I want to say, we do not need, nor should we be, on any level, knocking people down in the way that they're trying to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I have no idea what happens in Shamayim. I have no idea. But I do know that a Yid who's doing his best to try to find some Pesach, to feel something for the Rabbanu Shalom, is doing a good thing. And if that means that he's going to Keristir, and if that means that he's listening to music, and if that means that he's going to mikvah, nobody ever said that means that he doesn't have to open up a black gemara, and nobody ever said that means that he doesn't have to follow Shulchan Aruch. And as far as I know, and I've been listening to Rav Moshe Weinberger for a very long time, Rav Weinberger never said such a thing, and even though I haven't been listening to Rav Zakatinsky for as long, I'm confident that Rav Zakatinsky hasn't said that either. We do not need to be making songs about Yom Hadin. There are Yidden that are just trying to, they're just trying to walk a path. They're just trying to get from their head to their heart. And if that derech takes them through Keristir, why does it bother you so much? Believe me, there are a lot worse places to go. Probably places that will, you have to answer for on Yom HaDin. Shvilei Princhas brings down Hoydieni Na. Why does the Pasuk say Na? Nun is Nun Oiris. There's 50 Oiris. Moshe Rabbeinu was asking, can I please see the Oiris of that 50th level? I want to reach that level of Atzmos. I want to reach that level where there is no difference between head and heart, and everything is united in the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Arizal says that even though Moshe Rabbeinu in his lifetime didn't reach the 50th level, at the end of his life, Moshe Rabbeinu did reach the 50th level. That's why it says, Vayal Moshe me'arvas Moav al Har Nevo. That Moshe went up at the end of his life from the plains of Moav to Har Nevo. Moav is begematria 49. Nevo is Nun Bo. That Moshe Rabbeinu went from that 49th level to the 50th level. That at the end of Moshe Rabbeinu's life, he reached the Madrega where he was living from the perspective of the Atzmos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But this is what Amalek seeks to destroy. Amalek wants to go down to the 50th level of Tumah. It's a machloikis in Kabbalah if there is a 50th level of Tumah. The Leshem explains that really there is a 50th level of Tumah, and just the moment that you get there, you realize that there is no 50th level of Tumah, that it propels you to the highest possible Madregas. But let's, for a moment, say that there is a 50th level of Tumah. This is what the Nachash HaKadmoni, this is what Amalek, this is what Esav, this is what they're trying to bring the world down to, this 50th level of Tumah. Which is why Haman arranges his entire house, that he takes that 50th level of Kedusha, Zelu Umazeh, he takes that 50th level of Kedusha that Noach HaTzadik reached, and he brings it into his own home because he seeks to corrupt such a level, that there should be no Madrega of a Tzadik, that a Yid shouldn't have any inspiration, that a Yid should live an academic Jewish life, that there should be all the checklists, and all the Tznias police, and all the things that we do to keep Yidden following the right thing, even though Pashut, passionless. But in the end, Haman himself is hung exactly on that beam. Why? Because essence ultimately reveals all distortion. The moment that a person gets to that 50th level of Tumah, there is no 50th level of Tumah. When a person reaches that Madrega of the 50th level, everything falls away. Haman creates his own undoing, just like Khomeini did to himself. His obsession with this nuclear program that he wanted to use to destroy Klal Yisrael, and nobody had any pretenses for one minute that it was for nuclear power to sustain what was happening in Iran. It was ach v'rak to destroy Klal Yisrael, and it became the weapon of his own undoing. Because ultimately, that force of destruction dies. There was another person throughout history that also reached the 50th level, and that's Rav Akiva. That's why by Rav Akiva, all the things that we would never do, Rav Akiva did. None of us would laugh at a funeral. That famous Gemara at the end of Makos, where Rav Akiva sees a fox coming out of the Beis HaMikdash, out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and he starts laughing. Why are you laughing? Why are you crying? What do you mean, Rav Akiva? Why are you crying? They're crying because it's the destruction of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Rav Akiva, he's not living in the world of categories. Rav Akiva reached the 50th level. That's why there's a Medrash that says that Moshe Rabbeinu said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why are you taking Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim through me? Take Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim through Rav Akiva. Why? Because 210 years of slavery, and if we would stay for one moment longer, we would have been on the 50th level of Tumah. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, I, in my lifetime, who have only reached the 49th level of Kedusha, will not be able to take them out of the 50th level of Tumah. And as a result, Klal Yisrael's Golus is going to be extended for the rest of history, because those 190 years that we didn't have when we were in Mitzrayim become amortized out throughout the rest of history. Because Moshe Rabbeinu said, I can't take them from the 50th level, so we need to take them out now. But why don't you take them out with Rav Akiva? Because Rav Akiva, who reached the 50th level of Bina, Rav Akiva, who was able to darshan every single crown in the Torah, because he had reached that level, the 50th level, the Keser Kol Ksarim, the highest levels in the Torah, he said, take Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim with Rav Akiva. Let them finish the next 190 years, and then Rav Akiva will take them out from the bottom. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, this is not my plan. My plan is that it's going to be different. But fundamentally, Rav Akiva is capable of reaching the 50th level of Tumah because he was capable of reaching the 50th level of Kedusha. This is why the Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us that the descendants of Haman learned Torah Dafka in Bnei Brak. Why in Bnei Brak? Who was the Rav of Bnei Brak? We all know from the Pesach Seder, who was the Rav of Bnei Brak? It was none other than Rav Akiva. That Rav Akiva was the one that went into Bnei Brak and reached that 50th level of Tumah. Ultimately, Haman's descendants, the ones that reached the very, very bottom, the ones who sought to destroy Klal Yisrael by bringing them to the 50th level of Tumah, Dafka, those people are the ones that reached the 50th level of Kedusha with Rav Akiva. Dafka, those are the ones that are in his orbit. Chazal tell us, Ayra Zutaira. The R wasn't referring to light, it's referring to Torah. And Simcha is referring to Yontif. And Sasan is referring to Bris Milah. And Yikar is referring to Tefillin. Famous Kasha, so why not just tell us that? Why does it have to refer to them as Ayra, Vesimcha, Vesasan, Yikar? Just tell us. And at the end, there was a restoration of Tefillin and Bris Milah and Yontif and Torah. Why not just say it? And furthermore, this is not Chanukah. On Chanukah, the Yevanim sought to take away mitzvahs from Klal Yisrael. On Purim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was geyser that Haman should be allowed to kill us. As far as we know, when we read the Megillah, there were no gzeiras against Klal Yisrael making a bris milah. So all the Bali Chassidus give the same answer. All the Bali Chassidus say, there was a gzeira against bris milah, and there was a gzeira against Yontif, and there was a gzeira against Torah. There was a gzeira against Tefillin. The Gzeira wasn't like in the times of Yevanim where they asserted it. The Gzeira was that in the times of Haman, when a Jew put on tefillin, he was wrapping straps. And when a Jew performed the mitzvah of Bris Milah, it was circumcision. And Yontif was about, and you'll forgive me for saying this, but I have nothing left in the tank. So I'm just going to say whatever's on my heart. That Yontif wasn't Yontif Suda. It was just, how much money could we spend on Yontif? And how much alcohol could be at our Purim Suda? It's a chisaron in Yontif. It's not an expression of Yontif. And that the Torah that we learn is the Torah of academic Torah. And who gets celebrated? Not the boys that are steiging. Not the boys that are killing themselves in the base medrash. Not the boys that have that passion. But maybe they weren't born with the same level of kishron. No, who are the boys that we put up on the pedestal? Those are the real lamdanim. They can't daven for their lives, but they can learn very, very well. This was the gzeira. It was the gzeira of Haman to separate a yid's head from his heart. When Mordechai HaTzadik won, when he was victorious, when Haman HaRasha has to march Mordechai through the streets, saying, Kacha Yeyaseh La'ish, Kacha Rashi Tevas, Keser Kol HaKsarim. When Haman himself has to declare, The Baal Shem Tov says that Mordechai HaTzadik reached that highest level of Keser, the 50th level, and everything comes tumbling down. There's a restoration, not of Yontif, not a restoration of Tefillin, not a restoration of Bris Milah, not a restoration of Torah. It was a restoration of Eira, the Simcha, the Sassan, the Ikar. It was a restoration of light and of joy and of gladness and of preciousness. It was a restoration of the essence of everything being returned to Klal Yisrael. Not just the performance, but the light. That's why the Baalei Kabbalah say that Mordechai is the same Oisiyos as Derech Yud Mem. Yud Mem is the gematria of 50. The Mordechai HaTzadik is the one who knew the Derech. He knew the way. Today we use a phrase called off the derech, and we use it so wrong. Off the derech has nothing to do with religious performance. The derech is that a yid is moving as best as he can to try to get to that level of kiras alekim li toiv, that I'm just trying to connect myself to my maker. Last night I had the opportunity to be with Rav Daniel Kalish in Parsippany, New Jersey, with NCSY 4G. I've never seen the show up close and personal the way that I saw it last night. Chaim Guri and Shlomo Guri are such unbelievable people. I just got to meet them over Shabbos. Now I know why their songs are hitting so hard in the world. It's not because the songs themselves are beautiful. They are, but it's because the people that sang them are so beautiful. And to see these two young men singing with their Rebbe on stage with such heart, it was so exceptionally beautiful. And I was sitting on stage with them, and I was just watching. I was watching the way that Rav Kalish holds himself, and I was watching the way that Chaim and Shlomo were singing. The derech is so broad. Shivim panim latayr, there's a broad derech. There's so many different ways for us to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Today we made a monopoly on Hashkafa. This is the right way and this is the wrong way. This is not the derech of Klal Yisrael. The derech of a tzaddik is derech Yud Mem. We're all trying to get close to that level of atzmus. That there's no difference between this yid and that yid. All there are is yidden. And I watched last night when Chaim was singing yidden, and he wasn't just singing it; he was screaming it. He was screaming it in the bechina of tzaaka, of just it was flowing out of him. And I know where he learned it from. He learned it from his rebbe. I watched this Rabbi Kalish, literally, lovingly, sat and answered every single question that was coming at him. And then when it was finally time to answer the questions, the session was over. So I got up to leave, and Rabbi Kalish got up to leave. And I hadn't eaten because I was all anxious, and I hadn't eaten anything all day, so I'm trying to scrounge around in the kitchen to find myself something to eat. I was hanging out with a Talmud who had come to visit, a beautiful young man by the name of Chika, a real tzaddik of a guy. Came all the way to Parsippany just to drop off Hamantaschen and black and white cookies for my wife. I think by the time those Hamantaschen come to Eretz Yisrael, I hope they're not chametz stick. That would be bad. It was 2 hours later, and Rabbi Kalish was still there answering girls' questions. It was 2 hours later. It was 2 o'clock in the morning. I finally went upstairs. It's 2 o'clock in the morning, and Rabbi Kalish is like still there answering questions. I have no idea what time he left. I don't know how he does it. I do know how he does it. It's because he loves Yidden. Because he doesn't care what they look like. Because he's on a completely different derech. He's derech Yud Mem. The Navi tells us, Kimeitzecha me'eretz Mitzrayim me'ren neflaos, that just as we left Mitzrayim many, many years ago, so too, Erenu Neflaos, so too will we one day see Mashiach Tzidkenu come. That the same way that Moshe Rabbeinu took Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim and brought us to our Sinai, and we had 49 days of Sfiras HaOmer, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed to us that 50th level by our Sinai and gave us the Torah, so too, that's how it will be in the times of Mashiach. Mashiach is Rosh Yetevus, Mashiach Yigale Shara Chamishim. The Mashiach is going to come and he's going to reveal the 50th gate. He's going to open our eyes to the Atzmos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world. And all this nonsense of what type of Jew you are, all these man-made constructs of Reformed and Conservative and Orthodox and Modern Orthodox and Haredi and Dati Lumi and Chardal and all of the different ways that we've divided ourselves up. And are you pro Thank You Hashem or not pro Thank You Hashem? Menashe Ora told me that the Biyam Darkecha told him that he was so happy. He was so happy for Menashe. He said, Baruch Hashem, you have misnagdim. That means you're doing something right. In the times of Mashiach, it's niflos, it's nun plois. It's that madrega of nun that is going to be brought into the world. We're going to see the pella, we're going to see the wondrous nature of that 50th dimension. Bezra Hashem, we should be zoiche to watch as our enemies continue to fall. That Bezra Hashem, they're going to fall in every single way. They're going to fall al piderach ateva from missiles and from F-16 bombers. And they're going to take out all of their capacity to hurt any Jew. Every single Jew is precious. Every single Jew is beautiful. It's a chilul Hashem any single time that a Jew is hurt on any level by a guy in this world. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mamish going to wipe out all of their capacity to hurt any Jew. But it requires us. It requires us to reach this madrega of Yigala Shara Chamishim. To live on this level, this 50th level of Kedusha, that all we're trying to do is get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That there'll be no more division between our intellect and our emotion. That we won't be living by the chinah of chachma bagoyim tamin, but by Torah bagoyim al tamin. There's no Torah when it comes to goyim. That's specifically for Yidden. It's only us who has the ability to unite our head and our heart. And if we can unite all of Klal Yisrael, because we unite ourselves, and Be'ez Hashem will be zeicha that Mashiach should come and reveal the 50th gate. Amen. Have a freilich and purim, everybody.